Hello and welcome back to Shot Clock, the quickfire UK-based NBA dedicated podcast from me, Andy Brassel, and him, Max Whittle. Say hello, Max.
I'm so excited.
It's a super special episode 16 because we are broadcasting to you live from inside the O2 Arena in London. At the moment, we're looking down on the court from the second tier where the Toronto Raptors are providing those footsteps as they start the warm-up on their practice. That's right, ladies, gentlemen and children. It is NBA London this week. It is the Orlando Magic against Toronto Raptors. So we're doing two special editions of the pod this week. This little preview here, well, we'll be chewing through what it's like here in London as the NBA comes to town. We'll be looking at the two teams individually, the Orlando Magic and the Toronto Raptors, both of which we're very excited about seeing, right?
We are very excited. Very excited indeed.
Try and keep a lid on it, at least.
No, I can't.
I know it's hard.
I've had a Nando's already, and although that's had some effects on my mouth, I'm very hot. We've just interviewed some players. We're going to bring that to the audience. It's just brilliant to see all the journalists around and the players so up close. I was lucky enough to do it in Florida last year as a preview to this game, but
that's right.
To have
you've
them
seen,
here.
You've seen Magic versus Raptors already this season, haven't you, at the Amway in Florida?
And I think Orlando won that game by 2 or 3 points. It was a close one, and I'm hoping that we can have a similar game here. That's what fans want, is a close game. A lot of these exported games are blowouts, and I think these two teams, up and coming in the Eastern Conference, young, energetic, exciting, and it'll be a good matchup.
Well, before our cup totally runneth over with excitement, we are, of course, going to acknowledge the rest of the NBA. That will be in quarter four, but we're going to spend the first three quarters really looking at this NBA London. But first, before we get onto that, thanks to all, as usual, who've downloaded us via iTunes. You can subscribe, of course, and SoundCloud. You can tweet us on @ShotClockPod, or you can email us shotclockpod@gmail.com. Our format, of course, four quarters of discussion followed by Shot Clock Overtime, where we only have 24 seconds each to bring order to a current issue that's getting on our nerves. With this being a special edition, there will be a twist, of course, Max. So let's get straight on with it. Quarter one, the NBA is here in London, baby. How excited are you?
I'm very excited because, especially for Orlando, who weren't supposed to compete this season, that's the surprise. They are still one or two big trades away from competing for a title, but certainly they've improved. And the Raptors, top four or five in the Eastern Conference, they've got a good record. I think it's going to be exciting.
Now, as you were saying in the intro, two young teams, especially the Magic, representing the Eastern Conference that's much better, much more competitive this season. We were just hearing Luis Scola, actually, the Raptors center, talking about how the East has come up after, as he was saying, a decade down. We'll be hearing from some of the players in a little bit. But before we get onto that, there have been a few interesting faces in town who you've been speaking to this week, Max Whittle.
Indeed I have, and I've been very, very lucky. Today, Hakeem Olajuwon.
Oh, the dream.
The dream. I asked him about the dream shake, which was great. He was talking about, he was very gracious, talking about leaving Nigeria and going to the University of Houston. Now, I've got a great fact for you that I didn't know, because I read that he started playing basketball when he was 15, and I asked him that, and he said it was 17. He played basketball for the first time 6 months before he came to America play on a college scholarship before getting drafted number one overall by the Rockets. And he won two titles with the Rockets, and it was fantastic. And Muggsy Bogues, the day before that, the smallest player to ever play in the NBA, 5'3", 44-inch vertical leap.
Were you expecting to interview an NBA player this week who was shorter than yourself, Max Whittle?
I wasn't. I didn't know they existed, but they do. And I even got to play horse against him, and I won. By the way, I didn't realise that NBA teams did layup lines like this. Anyone out there who plays basketball for an amateur club, have faith, because Toronto Raptors do it just as well as you do. They've got no one defending them. They dribble in, they lay it up, and they go to the end of the line.
Yeah, they're having a great old time there, the Raptors, as they start their practice. We've had the Magic have already practiced out there at the O2 as they get used to their new surroundings earlier today. We've spoken to players from both sets, as we've said. We'll also be speaking to journalists to tell us a little bit more inside the Magic and the Raptors. But let's talk a little bit before we move on to the teams about the atmosphere around London. People are super excited about this, aren't they?
I think the great thing is, basketball isn't an American sport that we're trying to export globally. That's not what the NBA are doing, because basketball is played all around the world by millions and millions of people. What they're trying to do is not preach to the converted, bring in new fans, get them to the arena. But I don't think necessarily that this game and the games that they play annually now here are the key instigator of growth of basketball in the UK. I think that comes down to simple things like the Xbox, PlayStation. I think youngsters like to play basketball on those sort of things. They like to watch games. They have to resolve the fact that every game apart from Sundays tips off late. But this game certainly has a big, is a big factor towards the growth. But you can only get 18 to 20,000 in this arena at one time. So there still has to be more. The fact that it's being broadcast on BT Sport is another positive. And these two teams, I think, relate to London. They're excited to be here. You talk to the players, and a lot of the time you get the normal cliche things that we, you know, it's good for team bonding, we've been walking around, but a lot of them have been actually going to see the sights. Some of them are going to watch Chelsea Football Club tonight in a game. They're breathing in the culture.
In fact, Patrick Patterson told us earlier exactly what he'd noticed most about London.
All the construction, the roads. Granted, you know, every large city in the world has somewhat traffic, but here it's just brutal. It took like 2 hours to get over here today, and I'm like, wow, you know, seeing all the construction on the roads, the pavement torn up. Granted, they were telling me that it's all due to cyclists. And trying to build on the roads, and everyone's pretty much had negative words towards, you know, the cyclists on the street that I've talked to. But yeah, just the traffic has been a surprise.
That's right, Patrick Patterson there. Very perceptive gentleman, it turns out.
And tall.
And a huge Manchester City fan.
Yeah, he is. The reason he got into Man City was because he got introduced to FIFA, the game, not, thank God, not the governing body.
Really hell bent on promoting video games.
I am, I'm sorry.
Other pastimes are available. They're just not as good.
I can't relate to any other game. It's the only game I ever played FIFA, but Patrick Patterson started playing it when he was in college at Kentucky, and he said he played with AC Milan, Inter, so many teams, finally got to Man City. So he's definitely excited to be here tonight. But the international flavour, specifically of the Orlando Magic, means that they can relate more to coming to London. They can talk to their American and Canadian teammates about what it means to be here, to play in front of new fans. And you can sense the energy just watching this warm-up now. I don't know if they're normally like this in Toronto, but it seems that for all the jet lag, the travel, they look pretty good.
That's right. Of course, a few Europeans involved here. Obviously, a lot of people looking at Magic star centre Nikola Vucevic. Also, Evan Fournier creating a lot of noise in France this season. He told us earlier about how this is almost like a home game for him.
Yeah, almost a home game. You know, my family's going to be in town. My friends going to be in town. It's only, I think an hour and a half away from Paris. So, very excited to be here.
Evan Fournier there of the Magic. Really looking forward to seeing him tomorrow night. Now, you talked before, Max, about acknowledging what really gets young fans into the NBA. Of course, you talked about NBA Live, the game that they get going on the consoles. I've made myself sound about 50 there, haven't I? But anyway, I just want to be platform neutral, that's all. But as you come into the entrance of the O2 Arena, of course, there's a stall selling merchandise, not just for the Magic and the Raptors, but also you've got Steph Curry vests there, Kyrie Irving, LeBron. There's some acknowledgement of that, but of course, while and someone was lamenting to me, a journalist was lamenting to me earlier how it wasn't the Spurs versus the Warriors, but come on,
it's not going to be.
I think you have to say that this really could be the future of the NBA.
This is positive. You know why? Because the Nets aren't here. The Nets have been here probably too much in the recent past. We've had some good games, and you saw the Knicks and the Bucks last time, and the Knicks were horrible last season. This game for me is a really good matchup. It actually matters. I remember doing an interview with Ben Morrell earlier in the year, head of NBA Europe, and he said at the time that this was going to be a great game. It was going to be between two exciting teams contending for the playoffs. And when I spoke to him, I didn't believe that because it wasn't true. It was early on in the season. He didn't think the Magic were going to do too good. The fact that this game actually means something for both teams, they're out of rhythm right now. Coming to England, they're only playing one game all week, not a back-to-back like it was in 2011. Whilst every other team in the NBA is playing every night, every other night, these guys out of their rhythm, they're jet-lagged, they're tired, they have to win it. This is a business trip, first and foremost. So they're going to be focused, and that, in turn, gives the fans a good, entertaining game.
That's right, and as you said earlier, It's about competitive East as well. That's why it really matters. And Patrick Patterson was telling us about that earlier.
The East is strong this year. A lot of great teams. Chicago, ourselves, Cleveland, Orlando, Milwaukee. A lot of teams in the East are playing exceptionally well, and it's exciting. You know, throughout the years, people have been saying the East is subpar, the East isn't as good as the West, but now we're starting to see the East climb that ranking ladder and gaining that respect, and it's great. You know, competition every single night, everyone's hungry, everyone's having fun, and it's just overall exciting time for NBA.
The NBA, it's 200 events they conduct every single year in 125 cities, so make no mistake, an international game. And the Magic were here in 93, and Nick Anderson said that it was like traveling with the Beatles, with Shaq and Penny Hardaway. Players to watch tonight or tomorrow night will be DeMar DeRozan, Kyle Lowry, Nikola Vucevic for sure.
We're at quarter two now, and we're going to talk about the Raptors. We've got a very special guest with us. We've got Mike Anta from the Toronto Sun. Hello, Mike. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Thank you very much for coming on.
Oh, for sure.
Should we mention that we've moved to Starbucks? As well. They might hear the sound.
It's a lovely venue.
Actually, we've got DeMar DeRozan on bass. Kyle Lowry doing a bit of a finger-picking guitar there, which is all adding to that ambience, which we're all enjoying here in London. How's it been for you, Mike?
Oh, it's been outstanding. I mean, I was here 5 years ago, and I had a good time. But I'm enjoying this more because, I'm more comfortable. Because I've been here before, I kind of know how to get around.
Yeah.
And I mean, and the team I cover, quite frankly, is actually relevant now, and they weren't relevant when we were here the last time. So it's a lot more interesting and a little more rewarding.
Come a long way since the Barney uniforms.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, long way since those, and a long way since that other guy. I think his name Bargnani. Yeah, him. We got rid of him. So they're doing much better now, and they're, like I say, they're a relevant NBA team, and I'm not sure you could say that 5 years ago.
There's so many cliches when you ask the players about a trip like this. What have you heard that would be any importance to this game tomorrow?
To be honest, not a whole lot, although I did have a conversation with Luis Scola today, and Scola pointed out that, you know, this team has been playing, leading up to this game or up to this trip, this team has been playing, it's been going game, travel. So they're a little worn out. So this is actually a break for them, a little bit of a break, because they got here on Monday. So they've had Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then they're not playing till tomorrow or till Thursday. So those 3 days have allowed them to A, get a little bit of rest, B, get in two practices. And I mean, even Dwayne Casey, who it's almost like pulling teeth to get the coach to say that they had a good practice. He was quite happy with yesterday's practice. He was able to run them hard. They went long, which he enjoys. Like, you know, if he can get them into a 2 hour practice, he's quite happy. And so that happened yesterday. So he was, that's been the good side. In terms of bonding, or I haven't heard any really very many good stories. I had a short conversation with one of the rookies, DeLon Wright, today. And he mentioned that, he said, it's kind of hard to have any team bonding in these things, he says, because everybody is, like, half the team have their wives here, and some of them have their girlfriends here. He says, and then there's those young guys, and he goes, he mentioned himself, Terrence Ross, Norman Powell, Bruno Caboclo. They're kind of hanging out, and they're just doing their own thing. So in terms of a bonding exercise, I don't think this is really going to be a successful bonding thing, but they're a close team as it is. Like, they came over close, and that's not necessarily the goal here. I think the goal is really to spread the goodwill, show the NBA or expand the NBA market as much as they possibly can, and basically do their turn to help promote the NBA worldwide.
So where are the Raptors at the moment, Mike? Because, I mean, you talked about Dwayne Casey having some time to work with the players. They're kind of having to have a minor rethink at the moment because, of course, we've got Damari Carroll, who's going to be out for an extended period.
Yep.
And he was such a key piece because you look at, say, we talked about it earlier, making that leap from being a 60-win team in the regular season to actually doing something in the playoffs. And, and he was a key part of that, wasn't he?
Yeah, he is. He's not as key as you would think because we still haven't seen, I mean, and Damari said this before he left and had the surgery. He said, look, he said, there have been maybe four games where I have felt 100% healthy this year. So we've only seen him at his best four times. I think this is the best thing possible is just sitting him down, getting that knee right. I mean, his knee is, he was showing me pictures. I mean, it's so swollen. even before a game, that it's amazing he was even playing, and he probably shouldn't have been. So sitting him down and getting and taking him out of the realm and putting somebody else into that spot who is healthy and allowing him to get healthy. So we can see Damari at his best. But as far as the team goes, I don't think we've seen the best this team can offer, mostly because of Damari Carroll. We haven't seen his best yet. We've seen DeMar DeRozan's best. We've seen Kyle Lowry at his best. We've seen bits of Bismack Biyombo at his best, Luis Scola, but we have never seen Damari Carroll at his best. Even at his sort of 80%, 75%, whatever he was playing at, he was pretty damn good, but we haven't seen him at his best, so I still expect more from this team.
And this is what Patrick Patterson had to say to us earlier about what Damari Carroll offers to the team.
Just his ferociousness and his tenacity on the defensive end, his words, his leadership, his ability to cut and move off the ball and also relieve some stress from Kyle and Damari and Corey by handling it, dribbling to the basket, attacking the rim, and hitting those threes. You know, so he does so much for us on the defense end that we all already know about, but his offense has kept us in and won us a bunch of games.
Patrick Patterson there. You talked, Mike, about DeMar DeRozan before. There was a story that Zach Lowe broke on ESPN about the Lakers lining up an offer for him. Of course, he can opt out in the final year of his contract. Do you see him sticking with the Raptors? What do you think his future is going to be?
DeMar, I mean, first off, that's not even news anymore, the fact that he's going to opt out, because it's a no-brainer.
The way
the game is going and the way that the cap is going to be next year, it's going to be upwards of $95 million. So, I mean, he's obviously going to opt out of that. And I mean, in terms of whether he stays or whether he goes, he may be the most loyal soldier in that entire room. He's been here since day one. In my mind, there's not even an inclination that the whole Chris Bosh thing could happen again, where the team gets a little blindsided, they think he's staying, he ends up going somewhere else. I don't see that happening. I think DeMar DeRozan is probably going to be he's a Raptor for life as long as they want him. I've seen no indication whatsoever from Masai Ujiri, the GM, that they would do anything but keep him. If he doesn't have an extension by the time, you know, he's able to opt out, I'd be very, very surprised.
Now, fans tuning in on Thursday night to watch the game, the two clear stars of this Raptors team, Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan, and you've spoken about Kyle as being the head of the snake for this team. He'll control it. But can you explain a bit about the relationship between those two on and off the court?
Yeah, I mean, it's beyond, they don't even need to speak anymore. They know, it's just intuitive with them. They can see, okay, this is going to be DeMar's night, or this is going to be Kyle's night, or it might change halfway through the game. It might be third quarter, and all of a sudden it's like, okay, Kyle has carried us to this point, but now DeMar has it going, and the other will basically facilitate for the one who is going. So they know, and they've talked about it on and off through the season, but you can almost see it. If Kyle's got 22 points midway through the third quarter and all of a sudden DeMar starts scoring, you know that's the way it's going to stay, because Kyle is not an idiot. He's got the highest basketball IQ on this team. He's going to say, this guy has it going, I got my 22 already. Now it's where he's going to bring us home, and it's like a switch goes on, and they go, and it'll be, now it's DeMar's game.
So Kyle Lowry being a superstar, but the way you say you answer that question, it sounds like he's not solely concerned with getting his 20 points. Is that fair to say?
He's not. Kyle's been over the course of his career has been sort of accused of being that guy, being the me guy. I got to get my points. He's past that now. Now he just wants to win. And if you watch him on the court, you will see he's not. If he's got it going, he's going to keep shooting it. If he doesn't have it going, or someone has it going better, he's going to be facilitating. He's going to be passing them. He's going to be finding the ball. He's not a perfect human being. there's a lot not to like about Kyle Lowry, But on the court, he is all about winning. And whatever the best way and the easiest way and the most efficient way to win is the way he's going to go.
So is hot Pilates a big thing all over Toronto or just for Kyle?
I think it's just for Kyle and maybe some of the better looking women in the city. I honestly don't see a lot of it, but I don't run in those circles, so I really wouldn't know. It certainly has helped him. I mean, when he showed up training camp, it was like there was maybe two-thirds of him from the year before. And he's two-thirds of the human being that he was. He's faster, he's more able to handle the grind, so it's been good for him. There's no question. I personally wouldn't try it because I probably couldn't do it. But it has certainly worked for him.
So when we talk about the growth of the Raptors and working towards those playoffs, we talked about Damari Carroll and the influence he might or might not have. Obviously, that will be something edging very much towards the postseason. But for the rest of this regular season, what do you think Dwayne Casey really wants out of them?
I think he wants consistency. This team has been, they have a tendency to start slow, just wait around, let a team into a game, and then sort of pull things out in the third quarter, maybe get it going in the second, and then pull away in the third. But I mean, you can't really argue with their record. The record's it's decent. I mean, right now they're second in the East, so there's nothing to argue about that. But he just wants some consistency. Like, let's not have those games where we put ourselves in this hole every time and then have to expend so much energy to get back in a game. So I think that's what he wants to see. There have been maybe a handful of games, maybe five or six this year, where they just haven't been in them. And you're going to have a few of those. I think he'd just like to see those cut down in number. Five or six is probably too many at this point in the game. If they want to be that team that's going to be, you know, spoken of highly come playoff time. So I think it's just, you know, reduce those number of games and then maybe be a little bit more consistent through the course of a game. These slow starts, it's going to catch up with them if they allow it, if they allow it to keep going. And that's probably the one thing that Case gets on the most about is like, look, make it easy on yourselves. Start the way, you know, you get it. By the time you're into the second quarter, start the game that way. Don't mess around because they just have there's this tendency to just come up flat in the first quarter. None of them are really able to explain why it just happens. And the sooner they get rid of that, the better a team they're going to be.
And during the media time with the Raptors players, Patrick Patterson, the most interesting answer I could find was from a question about how do you defeat the Magic. And he literally said, we have to stop Victor Oladipo, we have to stop Nikola Vucevic. I feel like the Raptors' defense is the difference this year. They're going to be a contender. How will they go about that for this game and the key matchups for that and then going forward?
I mean, they've done well with teams. I mean, their bugaboo last year and their Achilles heel last year was basically small, quick point guards penetrating and then either scoring because nobody's stopping them, like they're not stopping the ball whatsoever, or penetrating and then dishing out and then getting hit or getting hurt from the three-point line. Very few guards now are having their way with the Raptors in terms of just getting to the bucket, getting to the tin, scoring it well. There still is a problem from the three-point line. So defensively, that's their weak point right now. They don't defend the three very well. I mean, I think I looked this morning, I'm pretty sure it was like 27th in the league out of 30 teams in terms of opponents' field goal percentage from three. So that's an area that they have to improve on. But they're so much better defensively this year in terms of all of the other things that almost gets overlooked because they're winning games, right? If there is an area to key on and improve on, it's going to be from the three-point line.
And finally, a funny story about James Johnson. You've already had a chat with him about London. What's he been saying?
James is a unique individual. He's got about five or six black belts in five or six different martial arts, and I really shouldn't be making fun of him because he could kick my hiney. But I asked him yesterday, I said, what are you doing this time that you didn't do the last time? And he said, I tried tea and biscuits. And I said, tea? I go, you've never tried tea before. And he goes, well, I'm trying it now. He goes, I had the cold milk and I had the tea. And I said, did you warm the cup? And he went, warm the cup? And I go, you put the hot water and warm the cup up before you steep the tea. And he goes, that's what the water was for. And at that point, I went, oh my God, you really don't know anything about tea, do you? And he just kind of, I didn't say that out loud. That was in my head. And then I said, well, anything on your bucket list? Anything you want to do while you're here in London? And he said, yeah, I want to go visit the castle, which I'm pretty sure he meant Buckingham Palace. And then he said, I want to see those guys with the hats, the bobbies. I want to go see those guys and try and make them laugh. So James has got a short list of things he wants to do, but I mean, yeah, if he gets, if you need a guy in a fight, you need a guy to have your back, he's the guy on the Raptors. Just don't ask him to make you tea.
Thanks for joining us, Mike. It's been an education. We have found out plenty about the Raptors, and they have Nando's in Canada as well. We found out all sorts of you. Thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, you're quite welcome.
Mike. Enjoy the rest of your time in London, and can we pester you for a brief prediction before you go?
Yeah, the Raptors came in here last time, and or 5 years ago, and lost both games. That, like I said, they weren't a good team then. They weren't a relevant team now, then. Right now, they're one of the three best teams in the East, and Orlando isn't close. I don't see this being very competitive. I think you take into account the fact that Orlando, for whatever reason, didn't show up until Tuesday in London, when they could have been here at the same time as the Raptors. I'm not that's a huge oversight on their part. They're not as in tune with, you know, the time zones, anything. And I was looking at pictures of them this morning, taking their photos at the Tower Bridge, and they all look like they're ready to pass out. So I don't think it's going to be much of a game. I'd say Raptors by 12.
Magic fans are excited now.
I'm sorry, Magic fans, but that's what I saw, and that's kind of what I believe.
Quarter three, and having caught up on all things Raptors, we're going to chat a little bit about the Orlando Magic. Now, of course, we've heard from Mike there's a gap between the two sides, and I don't think any of us would dispute that, but Magic have come a long way, haven't they, Max? And you went to see them in November at their home at the Amway Arena. What did you make of them?
So Tobias Harris, highest paid player, 23-24, he's got probably the most upside in terms of his athletic ability, scoring ability. Nikola Vucevic is a double-double machine. He is going to give you 20 points and 10 rebounds every night. Solid player. Victor Oladipo, energy. The off-guard, defensive-minded, but he can also score, he can also shoot the three. The problem with this Magic team, they've lost five of their last six games, so they're not hot right now.
And that one win was against the Brooklyn Nets, wasn't it?
Yeah, and the interesting story from that, and we spoke about it earlier, after the defeat before the Brooklyn game, they were in Orlando International Airport, and the team got together. They had a little meeting before they flew to Brooklyn, and they just let everything out, you know how it goes. Honesty is the best policy. Went to Brooklyn. They play quicker on transition, they got stops, and that's how they're going to have to beat the Raptors team. The Magic aren't skillful enough. They're not a good enough team to beat you with skill. So they have to be high energy, high tempo, take the ball away from the opponents, fast breaks, quick points. That's how they're going to beat the Raptors tomorrow. They're going to have a chance. And I think the main cog tomorrow, like Mike said, Valanciunas and Vucevic are going to cancel each other out. So the key guy for me is Oladipo, because he's been starting at point guard. Alfred Payton, their point guard, has been out for a while with the injury.
Yes.
He's going to come off the bench tomorrow. So I expect Victor Oladipo to play point guard for the majority. Has to be careful turning over the ball. He's not too careful with the ball. Has to score more. Has to take over tomorrow.
We talked about that energy. Of course, the Magic, one of the youngest teams in the NBA. But they're impatient to make an impact right now. As Evan Fournier told us earlier.
You know, we got to get to the playoffs first. You know, have a great season. You know, establish ourselves, and then we can talk about the future. But you know, we want to be a good team now.
Evan Fournier, there. What have you made of his contribution so far this season?
Was there in November, and he'd had a great start to the season. I think he was averaging around 19, 20 points a game.
Yeah, people in France are going crazy for him.
I hope they. I imagine so, and rightly so. But now it's not quite on that level like it was. They're going to only go as far as the likes of Oladipo, like I mentioned, Vucevic, but Fournier too. And when I spoke to a journalist out there, he said the player to watch would be Evan Fournier, not just because of the European link, but the fact that he is the sharp shooter. But I do believe that Fournier has a sort of a ceiling in a way. I don't believe he can elevate himself to being a very, very good player.
Even though he's quite young still.
Still young. He's got a good body, good defender, but I think he's going to be one of those average players who will shoot the ball well now and again. He has to be more consistent like this Magic team do. Scott Skiles is a good coach to have while you're young. That does help.
Isn't that one of those things of youth, though, you know, you can find it difficult to get out of a bad run, and you will have these natural little dips.
You will have the dips. Mike touched on it with his prediction, the consistency with the Magic team. Toronto, when they came to London last time, they weren't a good team. They've got to a point now where they're competing in the Eastern Conference at the top, and it's a question of now, how do we get past the Cavs? The Magic are nowhere near that level right now. They're still a young team. They're still in a process, but Scales has given them that chemistry, that identity. The last three seasons, they haven't made the playoffs. They've been a very, very bad team.
Yes.
They set out a goal this year to make the postseason. With the Eastern Conference being as it is, the amount of parity in that conference, which is surprising, they've got a chance. They have to get over this skid. And it's strange, they arrived late this week. They were supposed to get here on Monday. They got here on Tuesday.
Yeah, crazy.
All the preparation that went into this trip, and they turned up late. They didn't practice on Tuesday. We were there around Imperial College, and suddenly the email went out that they weren't practicing, it'd been cancelled. That surprises me. And if they lose this game, and we said at the top of the show, it's a business trip more than anything. If they lose this game, they've lost 5 days of a normal schedule back in North America. They've got another loss on the record. That's 6-7 if they lose this game. There's no momentum and a long flight home. That will not help these guys. I think this is not a must win, but it's an important game.
Well, yeah, and they've got some big games coming up. Of course, they play San Antonio twice in the first 10 days of February.
Really?
Which is going to be tough for them. There's no doubt about that. So you could say by the end of February, we'll have a fair idea of exactly where the Magic are in terms of playoff aspirations. Because as you said, it's very competitive in the East and they can't afford that many slips. And that's exactly what Tobias Harris was telling us earlier.
Everybody's pretty much neck and neck. So it's just a matter of us, stringing games along, winning a couple games in a row, and getting ourselves going and building that confidence and that momentum to move forward.
Tobias Harris there, telling us about how competitive the Eastern Conference is, as we so know. And that, to an extent, is what makes this game so exciting, isn't it? That it's two Eastern Conference teams in a year when that conference has been so invigorated.
Like I said, it matters. And the players know it. I've spoken, and the international flavour, that's what I really like about this game. The likes of Mario Hezonja, Vucevic, Oladipo. On the other side of things, you've got Lewis Scola, Valanciunas is Lithuanian. So many different nationalities, and it really helps the team. But what I wanted to talk about quickly with this, the Magic and the Raptors, we hear so much about these international trips being a bonding experience for the teams. But like Mike said, the youngsters are with the youngsters. And he actually bumped into Kyle Lowry the other night. He was with his wife having dinner. So he's on his own. I don't think these trips are necessarily about team bonding. You're never going to get everyone together, right? This is all about the win in the end of the day. Kyle Lowry looked tired when I spoke to him earlier. I don't know about you. Did Harris look... Because they arrived later. That's the question. Did the Magic players, when you spoke to them, look bleary-eyed at all?
I didn't notice that particularly. There are a lot of them having ice put on, but you would expect that at this point of the season.
They do it every day.
It's very much maintenance at this stage of the season, isn't it, with so little time to prepare in between games. But I think they're going to be raised a little bit, like, by the occasion, I think, you know, to bring themselves out of this recent funk. I mean, what a better chance than an occasion like this?
Absolutely, and I think we should end with a prediction. If we're going to go to league news next quarter, we should try our hands at a quick prediction. What do you reckon?
You know what? I'm going to put it out there and go for the Magic. I think they can...
So when they win, you're going to look like a genius.
Huh?
When they win and they're not the favourites, you'll look like a genius.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, if they lose, whatever. No one cares about my prediction. What do you think?
I think the Raptors win by... I think it's going to be close again than Mike said. I really think it's going to be 4 to 6 points difference between the two teams. I expect a close fourth quarter. I think... Orlando, because Toronto have had slow starts this season. Orlando get off to a quick start with the energy, and I really am excited, just quickly, to see the difference between these fans and those of the NFL. Are they educated? Do they take sides with Orlando? Because this is their home game. They're hosting this game, and I actually think that the majority of the O2 Arena tomorrow will be cheering for Orlando, and that will have an effect, at least to begin with.
And more importantly, do you want a pound bet on the result?
Let's do it. That's big money. Why not?
Let's go. We're shaking on it right now.
We're shaking on it left-handed.
Quarter four. And even though we're incredibly excited about NBA London, there are another 28 teams to talk about. We're not going to go through all of them individually. But looking back a year later, NBA London last year was New York Knicks versus the Milwaukee Bucks. Let's look at where they are 12 months on. Of course...
You could tell us where they were, because you were there.
Well, Milwaukee were, they looked really good last season. The Knicks looked absolutely terrible. But they've already got more wins than they had in the entirety of last season.
That's crazy, right? I mean, the Knicks are at 500 after 40 games. I was saying at the start of the season that the draft pick was bad, the coach was terrible, the owner wanted to coach or retire again.
I love the way you're not trying to rewrite history, by the way, but carry on.
Never.
Fair play to you.
And they've surprised me. And you know why? They've got that building block with Kristaps, and they've made additions that mean they're not going to compete. They're going to make maybe the eighth spot or the seventh seed, and then they'll go out in the first round. But the fact that they've actually made a good decision, which is not like the Knicks in recent history. From where they were last year, I actually saw an old interview of Carmelo Anthony when he was here last year, and he was injured, he was out of shape. The Knicks weren't going anywhere soon. Kristaps comes in, he's a three-year project. The problem is they didn't trade Melo away and build around Kristaps. By the time Porzingis is a finished product, Carmelo's probably out of his prime. But at least Carmelo is having fun. I think those two together look good to watch. And it's a shame we couldn't see that in London. Whereas Milwaukee have gone the opposite way. I predicted they'd finish second in the East this season.
I thought they'd do well as well. I mean, we talked about that in the very first part of the season, didn't we? Before it kicked off. And, you know, they've had Jabari Parker come back. So there's not a huge load of injury excuses. There's Greg Monroe, who they got in at centre, who the Knicks really wanted, the Lakers wanted.
But like the Magic, don't you feel like the Bucks are also one or two big superstars away? Monroe is not elite level. He's maybe a four or three out of five. He's not that top guy. Their coach, Jason Kidd, is not coaching at the moment.
No, that's right. And it's sort of Steve Kerr situation, isn't it?
A kind of thing like that. And Parker, we didn't really know what to expect. I know he was returning. He's a high potential, high draft pick. But they didn't have him for a season, and it's a slow return. So Milwaukee have gone one way, the Knicks the other. But I still expect by the end of the season that Milwaukee will have a better record than New York.
You think so?
Yeah. Still half a season to go.
That's quite interesting. We'll have to see how that pans out. If we scoot across the Big Apple, big news this week at the Brooklyn Nets, with the franchise taking the decision to get rid of both the coach, Lionel Hollins, and a general manager, Billy King. Well, officially, Billy King's been reassigned. But we all know what that means. And the owner, Mikhail Prokhorov, who had the Nets on the market a while back, of course, is looking to sell. But since then, has upped his stake in both the franchise and the Barclays Center, where they play, to 100%. So he's very much hands-on. Prokhorov has come over from Russia to oversee the succession. What do you make about what's going on at Barclays Center?
He's a terrible owner. Prokhorov needs to understand that John Calipari, who's the coach at Kentucky, is being linked with the job.
Yes.
And Prokhorov needs to understand that if John Calipari comes over to Brooklyn, the Kentucky players don't follow. That's not how this contract works. He gets the coach, not the good players. This team has handed out huge contracts to Joe Johnson, Deron Williams, Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett over the last two seasons. Terrible contracts, awful on the salary cap.
And of
They've
course,
got no cap space. They need to be able to strip down, draft well, and that is how they're going to go up. Mark Jackson is one that's been linked with the job. He's the ESPN commentator.
Yes.
The guy that
Jeff
was
Van Gundy as well.
Yeah, I think Jackson is really... Jeff Van Gundy seems to be linked with every job in the last sort of two or three seasons. Mark Jackson has got a chip on his shoulder because it's worked so much for Steve Kerr. He left the Warriors, Kerr came in, and they've won a title. Brooklyn is a mess. Lionel Hollins had a terrible record over two seasons, but I don't necessarily blame that on him. 48 wins, 71 losses in his tenure with Brooklyn. Third worst record in the league this season with 10 wins, just ahead of the Lakers and Sixers. They were going nowhere fast. They're a terrible team. They play in a terrible arena with horrible fans. Not literally, just the atmosphere is bad. And if, one more thing on this. Billy King, the GM, who's reassigned, he won't be the GM. He won't be practicing as the GM. I don't know what his role's going to be, and it hasn't been said yet. If you're looking for a new coach, you need a GM. Because if a new coach comes in at the end of the season, then the GM's assigned. The GM hasn't got his guy.
You can't do it that way around. You cannot do
Precisely.
It that way around. But it's funny, when you talk about the need for a stripping down and a rebuild, they had the opportunity to do that last season, but then they maxed out again on Brook Lopez and Thaddeus Young. Does that look bad in retrospect?
I think Brook Lopez is a good player, and I said this.
Oh, there's no doubt
ages
about
ago.
It.
Every other player
really
goes through Lopez.
I was asking,
no, but I wouldn't say that was the problem. The problem has been Joe Johnson, who's on so much money and is still there, needs to take his salary off the board. There's a disregard for the coaching process, and the owner says we're going to take the rest of the season to find a new coach. How long does he need? If you fire a coach, you have a plan B in place.
But does that really matter if they're not going anywhere?
That's true. They can tank further.
Yeah.
But clearly, not having that game plan means that who are you going to attract? Is Brooklyn a job that a Jackson or a Van Gundy would want? That's the issue.
But is that why Prokhorov's come over? Because he feels that while he's in absentia, people aren't really looking after it well enough for him on a day-to-day basis.
I just think he doesn't have any concept of running a sports team.
Well, straight off the bat, by getting them to Brooklyn, by getting them in the Barclays Center after that was built, he added a load of value to the
business,
the franchise.
Money.
But since they've mortgaged so much of it on sporting success and it's not worked out, that's where it's gone south, isn't it?
So he brought in Paul Pierce, but Paul Pierce convinced Kevin Garnett to come over with him. Celtics teammates, good friends. That wasn't the owner's pull. And look what happened to that team. They made the first or second round, and it was talent-laden team. Williams, Johnson, Garnett, Pierce. Everyone assumed that they would go at least to the conference finals. Didn't happen. They had to get rid of the players. That's a situation you don't want. If you're going to give money to someone, it has to be a young guy like an Andre Drummond who has years on his legs. It didn't have that.
Someone to build around.
Exactly. So I don't like what I'm seeing there.
Talking of young guys, great comeback is what we're going to polish off quarter four with. Kyrie Irving is 9 games into his comeback for the Cleveland Cavaliers. Had his best game with 32 in the road win over the Washington Wizards in the last week. What have you made of Kyrie's comeback after 6.5 months out with that broken patella?
So I always go back to that game last year in San Antonio when he was so good.
Oh, well, that's it, actually, because they're going back to the AT&T Center to play San Antonio Spurs this week. He dropped 57 there last season, of course, in the win there.
Thank you for reminding me. 57 points. And I always thought when he came back, it's going to take him time. He's a young guy, and I keep saying to you, I worry about the injuries with Kyrie Irving, because wouldn't it be great to have the second coming of Westbrook and Durant with LeBron and Kyrie Irving? You've got a great duo there. And it was just a shame to keep seeing him go down. And he comes back this season, slowly getting back to it, of course. But I always thought back to that game and how good he looked, what a leader he was, and the partnership between him and LeBron. And now he's slowly starting to get that back. And it all comes true. The question I had for you a couple of days ago was, like, is it unfair that he's ahead of Kyle Lowry, guy we're going to be seeing on Thursday night at the O2, in the All-Star voting, after playing, 4 or 5 games? Kyrie was already ahead of Kyle Lowry.
That's not really how All-Star voting works, though, is it?
And that's my point. The fans like to see Irving's game. And I'm excited to have him back in Cleveland. I think the Christmas Day game between the Warriors and the Cavs wasn't what we wanted to see, because you'd like to see healthy Steph Curry, healthy Kyrie Irving.
Yeah.
And those two go up against each other, and it hasn't happened yet. Can we please have that by June? I hope so.
Well, in June.
In June, yeah.
That's what we want. That's the end of quarter four, and so it's now shot clock overtime, which we've been a bit skittish about recently, but we're definitely having it today, and we're definitely having a little twist on it, as we promised earlier. So what I want from you, Max Whittle, is in 24 seconds, what you're looking forward to most about NBA London. Go.
It's already happening. I've already interviewed 2 NBA heroes this week. I'm just going to go off on a tangent here. It's great to be able to speak to the players. They come onto the court today. You can go up to any of them. You can interview them. They're your heroes. You enjoy watching them on TV. And now they're on your doorstep. We're so fortunate to have this now in London. I think it's great. The atmosphere tomorrow, I'm looking forward to it. The superstars on our doorstep. That's what I love.
Only 1 second over. I'm very, very impressed.
Just happy about that. Like, even though we've been thrown out of the O2 and we're now in a Starbucks next to the O2, or in the O2, just in front of the front door.
Well, you make it sound as if it was only us who was thrown out. In fact, it was the end of open practice.
We weren't causing too much trouble.
Committed any terrible crimes or anything like that. Well, I'm going to take my 24 seconds here. And I'm very much looking forward to seeing 2 young teams who are on the up and who are the real future of the NBA, as we've been hearing from our players and some of our commentators today. It's going to be really exciting because it was quite flat, especially with such a poor start by the Knicks to the game. Of course, they were in a terrible run when they came here last season. But we're seeing a Raptors team that's looking to bridge that gap between being good in the regular season and the playoffs, and a Magic team who I expect more from.
Wouldn't it be nice if we, at the end of the season, the Raptors were in the conference finals competing, and we could say we saw them, we watched
them. In
that
season.
I just think we are fortunate. We are fortunate that it's right here, we're doing this show, and we're going to bring reaction from the game. I'll let you explain what's going on tomorrow's show.
Yeah, that's right. This is very much the preview, as you'll be aware. What we're going to do is we're going to record a second pod during the game as it evolves during the night. So from when we get in, we're going to be doing the build-up, enjoying the game itself, dividing into the first and second half, and then we'll be sweeping up all the reaction from the coaches, from the players, after the game and giving our impressions of NBA London. I can't wait. I don't know about you, Max.
I can't wait. And Commissioner Adam Silver is going to be talking tomorrow as well, so we should be able to get his quotes, some of the quotes on the show.
The future of the NBA as well. Well, we look forward to hearing those. Thank you so much for joining us. Say goodbye, Max.
Goodbye, and enjoy the game tomorrow evening. Magic
That's
Raptors.
Right. We will see you tomorrow. Make sure you tune in. Of course, it's on BT Sport in the UK, so you can keep up with it. We will be here, as we've said, and we will speak to you very soon. Thanks for joining us. Of course, you can subscribe to us on iTunes, download on SoundCloud as well. If you want to leave us a charming comment, you may do so, and we will speak to you soon. Goodbye.